Good morning, church. Today we'll be reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 to 21. If you need a Bible, please raise your hand so the host team will come around with a Bible for you. So 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 to 21. This then is how you ought to regard us, as servants of Christ and as those entrusted with the mysteries God has revealed. Now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. I care very little if I'm judged by you or by any human court. Indeed, I do not even judge myself. My conscience is clear, but that does not make me innocent. It is the Lord who judges me. Therefore, judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait until the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in the darkness and will expose the motives of the heart. At that time, each will receive the praise from God. Now, brothers and sisters, I have applied these things to myself and Apollos for your benefit, so that you may learn from us the meaning of the saying, "Do not go beyond what is written." Then you will not be puffed up in being a follower of one of us over against the other. For who makes you different from anyone else? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as though you did not? Already you have all you want. Already you have become rich. You have begun to reign, and that without us. How I wish that you really had begun to reign so that we also might reign with you. For it seems to me that God has put us apostles on display at the end of the procession, like those condemned to die in the arena. We have been made a spectacle to the whole universe, to angels as well as to human beings. We are fools for Christ, but you are so wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are honored, we are dishonored. To this very hour, we go hungry and thirsty. We are in rags. We are brutally treated. We are homeless. We work hard with our own hands. When we are cursed, we bless. When we are persecuted, we endure it. When we are slandered, we answer kindly. We have become the scum of the earth, the garbage of the world, right up to this moment. I'm writing this not to shame you, but to warn you as my dear children. Even if you had 10,000 guardians in Christ, you do not have many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I became your father through the gospel. Therefore, I urge you to imitate me. For this reason, I have sent to you Timothy, my son whom I love, who is faithful in the Lord. He will remind you of my way of life in Christ Jesus, which agrees with what I teach everywhere in every church. Some of you have become arrogant, as if I were not coming to you. But I will come to you very soon, if the Lord is willing, and then I will find out not only how these arrogant people are talking, but what power they have. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. What do you prefer? Shall I come to you with a rod of discipline? Or shall it come in love and with a gentle spirit? This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. My name's Enrique, and I'm very excited to be up here today. We're going to go deep into 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And in it, God has left for us a message that is very relevant and quite convicting. So, please keep your hearts, your minds, and your Bibles open as we get into the passage this morning. Let me start with a question. How influential do you think you are? When you speak, do people listen? Are you a trendsetter? Let me tell you about someone who fits that description quite well. You all know her. It's very hard to go 2 days without hearing her name pop up in the news. There we go. It's Taylor Swift, of course. Who else? Who else? Has anyone else noticed how powerful and influential this lady is? On Instagram alone, she has 283 million followers. She's won 14 Grammys. She's broken countless records. Massive brands like Nike, Instagram, Coke have leveraged her popularity and reaped millions in returns. To say that Taylor Swift is an influential figure is quite the understatement. She's earned riches, fame, and success. To many around the world, she lives the ideal life. She's someone worth following. Do you want to be like her? Do you want what she has? Okay, maybe you don't want to be an international pop star, but I'm sure you'd be quite happy with her money. Who else do you follow? Do you listen to the words and follow the ideas of Elon Musk? Or maybe activists like Emma Watson? There are heaps of influencers out there. All of them have their own ideas on how to succeed at life. And all of them have their loyal bands of followers. This is similar to what was happening in the church in Corinth 2,000 years ago. The Corinthians had lots of voices to listen to. First, they'd heard from the Apostle Paul. When he moved on, other teachers like Apollos took over. Even though they both taught the same message, the Corinthians started choosing their favorites. Some loved the way Paul taught, with logic and reason. Others preferred the powerful, eloquent speech of Apollos. These two fan bases were so loyal to their favorite leaders that it actually caused divisions in the church. Here's Paul writing in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. Slide, please. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought. My brothers and sisters, some from Chloe's household have informed me that there are quarrels among you. What I mean is this. One of you says, I follow Paul. Another, I follow Apollos. Another, I follow Cephas. Still another, I follow Christ. Slide, please. But why was this happening? Why were the Corinthians picking their favorites? It's because they didn't see the apostles the right way. They were treating them like celebrities. For the Corinthians, it was a popularity contest. They would say, you follow Paul? Have you heard him talk? He's pathetic. Look at my leader. He's Apollos. He's way better. This is exactly how the Greeks and the Romans behaved in that day. Corinth was an important city of trade. It was full of wealthy merchants and wise philosophers. Speakers would go to public places and share their wisdom. Everyone wanted to learn from them. They were the powerful ones, the wealthy, the successful. The message was, if you follow my teachings, one day you can rise up and be just like me. Everyone wanted a piece of their success. And now, the Corinthians were doing the same thing to the leaders of the church. They chose their favorite apostle and pledged their undying allegiance. Following Paul or following Apollos was their ticket to the top. And we see this problem in today's church too. So many Christians want to rise up and make it in this world. It's natural. We see it all around us. There are even some pastors who are living it up. I'm sure you've heard of famous evangelists with private jets and mansions. These men lead prosperous lives. They've got it all. They're rich, they're popular, they're influential. It's easy to see why they've got so many followers. Everyone wants what they've got. But Paul could see that following a successful preacher rather than following Jesus would lead to spiritual emptiness. It would lead to pride and ultimately the division of the church. He couldn't have that. He had to set things right. He had to show the Corinthians the proper way to look at the apostles. Let's get into our first point for the morning, the servant apostle. Please read with me from 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Perfect. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. This then is how you ought to regard us, as servants of Christ and as those entrusted with the mysteries God has revealed. Paul wants to be viewed as a servant, not a hero. Paul isn't the Son of God. He's not the Messiah. He didn't die on the cross for the forgiveness of sins. That was Jesus. The object of the Corinthians' praise and worship should have been no one but Jesus. Paul, Apollos, and all the other church leaders were just there to serve him. Paul goes on to explain that as a servant, his work will be judged one day by God. Here's verses 2 through to 5. Now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. I care very little if I'm judged by you or by any human court. Indeed, I do not even judge myself. My conscience is clear, but that does not make me innocent. It is the Lord who judges me. Therefore, judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait until the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of the heart. At that time, each will receive their praise from God. Paul's been entrusted with an incredibly important message. This is the message, the good news that Jesus died on the cross for the forgiveness of sins. And 3 days later, he rose again to sit at the right hand of the Father. This is not a message that Paul could treat lightly. He knew that he had to be faithful. He knew that he had to honor God with his work. So Paul cared very much about doing the right thing and honoring God with what he did and what he taught. But he cared very little about the opinions of men. Paul doesn't seek affirmation from the Corinthians. He doesn't care about having more fans than Apollos. He just wants to serve God well. Paul and the apostles were servants, not celebrities. But friends, this is not an easy attitude to adopt. As social creatures, we naturally tend to care a lot about what people think about us. Take me, for example. Some of you might know I used to do competitive karate in my youth. I trained for many years. I racked up as many medals as I could. And eventually, I became pretty well known in the karate community throughout Queensland and then throughout Australia. I was something of a role model to some of the younger kids around me, and it kind of went to my head. You know, I liked how they looked up to me. I liked that people would praise me and congratulate me. They made me feel special. They made me feel like I was the one to be. So now, when I read 1 Corinthians 4, I can hear God's warning. Don't let that happen in your ministry. Don't let yourself get a big head. This is my third time preaching, and just like my karate career, I want my sermons to be excellent. I want to speak clear and powerful truths into your hearts. I want everyone to walk away feeling encouraged and challenged by the word. Don't get me wrong, these are still good desires. But I constantly have to remind myself that I'm not preaching up here for my own glory. I'm not preaching here to show off my speaking skills or gain fans from the crowd. I'm here to serve Jesus. I'm here to give him the glory. Like Pastor Iggy said a few weeks ago, Bible teachers are windows that you look through to see Jesus more clearly. They're windows that you look through to see Jesus more clearly. That's all. They're humble servants, not proud celebrities. So now the Corinthians can understand that Paul is not someone to be worshipped, but he's simply a servant of God. He now wants to make it very clear to them that he is also a suffering apostle. Paul is a suffering apostle. To do this, first Paul needs to shine a light into the pride of the Corinthians' hearts. They're so proud to be part of the fan club of Paul or Apollos. They're so proud of their amazing leaders, their tickets to the top of the social ladder. Paul points out their pride from verse 6. Read with me, please. Now, brothers and sisters, I have applied these things to myself and Apollos for your benefit, so that you may learn from us the meaning of the saying. Do not go beyond what is written. Then you would not be puffed up in being a follower of one of us over against the other. For who makes you different from anyone else? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as though you did not? The Corinthians who followed Paul were no different to the ones who followed Apollos. They all heard the same message. They all received the same grace. In fact, everything that the Corinthians had, every good thing in their lives, was a gift from God. Their houses, their intelligence, their relationships with others, their money. It did not come from them. It came from their heavenly Father. So there should have been no room for boasting, no room for pride. But there was. So Paul uses some sarcasm to poke more holes in the Corinthians' pride. Read along with me from verse 8. Already you have all you want. Already you have become rich. You have begun to reign, and that without us. How I wish that you really had begun to reign so that we also might reign with you. For it seems to me that God has put us apostles on display at the end of the procession, like those condemned to die in the arena. We have been made a spectacle to the whole universe, to angels as well as to human beings. We are fools for Christ, but you are so wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are honored, we are dishonored. To this very hour, we go hungry and thirsty. We are in rags. We are brutally treated. We are homeless. We work hard with our own hands. When we are cursed, we bless. When we are persecuted, we endure it. When we are slandered, we answer kindly. We have become the scum of the earth, the garbage of the world. Right up to this moment. Scum of the earth. Garbage of this world. That's some really strong language there. What is Paul saying here? He's making it crystal clear to the Corinthians that Paul and the apostles, the other leaders, are not successful. They're not rich. They're not reigning as kings. In the world's eyes, the apostles have nothing. They are nothing. They don't have money like the wealthy Greek merchants. They don't hold the secrets to success like the philosophers. Instead, Paul is hungry. He's thirsty. He's dirty. He's brutalized. He's homeless. Paul is saying, hey, can't you see what we've been through? We have nothing. We are so low and foolish in the eyes of the world. We are not the magnificent celebrities that you make us out to be. That's what Paul is saying here. But why? Why couldn't Paul live a life of luxury? Why was he shamed like that? God was protecting Paul from becoming proud. Sure, Paul had lots of responsibility, and his ministry was very effective as the church grew and grew. But it wasn't easy. And he definitely couldn't have done any of that on his own strength. Paul was broken down again and again. He suffered greatly so that he would remain humble and depend on God to carry him through. Paul's life appeared foolish and weak so that God's work could take center stage. God wanted the glory to go to Jesus, not to Paul. I'm going to say that again because it's really important and I don't want you to miss it. God wanted the glory to go to Jesus, not to Paul. But there's another reason that Paul suffered so much. He was a follower of Christ. Jesus was betrayed by those he loved. He was humiliated, mocked, and tortured by those he had come to save. He was nailed to a cross and endured the terrible wrath of God for sins he never committed. Jesus suffered greatly. So it only makes sense that his followers will suffer too. Jesus said, "A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also." John 15, verse 20. Friends, can you see how Paul has flipped the thinking of the Corinthians upside down? The apostles aren't like the Greek philosophers. They're not powerful, rich, and successful in the world's eyes. They're humble. They glorify God, not themselves. And they endure suffering, just like Jesus did. That's the difference. That's what makes Paul a leader worthy of following. He follows in Jesus' footsteps. And he wants the Corinthians to do the same. This takes me to my final point today, the obedient apostle. Friends, Paul was clearly a smart guy. He knew he wasn't the only one trying to teach the Corinthians how to live. There were other teachers around like Apollos and even the Greek merchants and the Greek philosophers and the speakers of the day. And so Paul wanted to give a firm warning to the Corinthians. He says in verse 14, "I'm writing this not to shame you, but to warn you as my dear children. Even if you had 10,000 guardians in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel. Therefore, I urge you to imitate me." Paul planted the church. He was their spiritual father. So Paul wanted the Corinthians to ignore the worldly teaching and instead imitate his behavior as Paul imitated Christ. Jesus lived the ultimate example of the humble life we've been talking about this morning. He humbled himself by leaving his throne in heaven to come down to earth as a helpless baby. He walked around on foot. He depended on the generosity of others. He broke bread with the social outcasts of the day. There was no pride in his heart. Paul wants the Corinthians to follow in those footsteps. He wants them to obey Jesus' example of living in humility and sacrifice, because he knows that it's truly the wisest way to live. Live with humility, not power and influence. Serve Jesus, not yourselves. Follow Christ, not the world. This was his message. Paul then rounds off his letter, this part of the letter, with a firm warning again in verse 17. For this reason, I have sent to you Timothy, my son whom I love, who is faithful in the Lord. He will remind you of my way of life in Christ Jesus, which agrees with what I teach everywhere in every church. Some of you have become arrogant, as if I were not coming to you. But I will come to you very soon, if the Lord is willing, and then I will find out not only how these arrogant people are talking, but what power they have. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. What do you prefer? Shall I come to you with a rod of discipline? Or shall I come in love and with a gentle spirit? Paul's not being needlessly harsh here. He rebukes and warns the Corinthians out of love. He knows that the mark of a true follower of Jesus is obedience. He doesn't want the Corinthians to be led astray by the arrogant philosophers. Paul's loving warning is this: don't listen to them. Listen to me, your church father. Follow Jesus in humility and suffering for your own good and the good of the church. This same warning that Paul gave to the Corinthians, he also gave to us. Now, we don't live in Corinth. We live in Brisbane in the year 2024. But to be honest, it's not that different. Both cultures promote selfishness. Both of them promote sexual immorality and the love of money. Both cultures are filled with voices shouting in our faces the path to success. But the difference now is just how loud these voices can get. An idea spoken in Australia with the internet can be spread all over the world in a matter of seconds. You have blogs, YouTube videos, TikToks. There's information, ideas, wisdom everywhere. You can't escape it. And what are these voices saying to us? Whatever our hearts desire. If you desire success, you can easily find thousands of videos on YouTube on how to invest in stocks, how to generate passive income, how to build up your business empire. If your heart desires approval, you can learn how to boost your social presence, how to gain more likes, more followers. What if you desire control, comfort, or security? Whatever you want most in life, there will always be someone out there ready to give you their wisdom. And more often than not, it's the exact opposite of God's wisdom. When it comes to success and security, the world says, hustle every day, sacrifice everything else, make millions. But God says, whoever loves money never has enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with their income. This too is meaningless. If you desire approval, the world says, work harder, do better, be perfect. But God says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. If you seek comfort, the world says, eat more ice cream, drink more beer, party your woes and your sorrows away. But as followers of Jesus, we can say, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Time and time again, we see that God's word tells us the exact opposite of what we hear from the world. So, friends, let me encourage you. Place your trust in a God who is far wiser than any self-help guru. The Joel Osteens and the Taylor Swifts of the world may appear to be living the life. You might be tempted to follow their way and taste your own success one day. But please know that it's far wiser to follow in the footsteps of our all-knowing, wise Savior. Friends, I want to warn you about another potential danger. Now, this warning is as much for you guys as it is for me. Don't believe the lie that you can do both, that you can serve both God and the world. It's a much more sinister lie, isn't it? Sure, there are voices out there that say, just forget about Jesus altogether. Listen to me, and I'll show you the ways to success. Those voices are relatively obvious, not too hard to ignore. But the ones that are more sinister, more subtle, are the voices in your ear, the voices on your phone, your friends, your family, who say, sure, you can follow God, you can be humble, but come on, we live in the 21st century. You don't want to fall behind, do you? Follow my way. You can do both. This is a message that I find very difficult to ignore. I'm still growing in my faith, and I am confident that I want to serve and honor God with my life, but I'm still tempted by the idea of pursuing relentlessly financial success and security. I have friends from school who are excelling in their careers. They're making big money. I'm a physio, and when I chat with my patients, they'll tell me about their lives, their jobs, their massive incomes, their luxurious lifestyles. I can feel the tension in my heart when I talk to people like that. Part of me wants to say, I don't need any of that. I've got Jesus. I follow Jesus alone. But another part, the part that desires success and security, says, I've worked hard. I deserve what they have. I should do what they're doing so I can be like them. And my heart is tempted to follow the ways of the world rather than following God's way. But God has been kind to me. He's shown me time and time again the dangers and the damaging effect that following these idols can have. As I keep talking with my wealthy patients, sometimes I'll find out that they're divorced or they have practically no relationship with their kids or their family. A lot of them will explain to me that they feel empty inside, that they feel their lives have no direction, no purpose. Sure, they have money, they have wealth, they've achieved their success in their career, but it's not worth it for them. It's not satisfying for them. God has not been in the center stage of their lives. Money has. Jesus is the only one who can bring true, everlasting joy, everlasting peace and comfort. He's the only one who can fulfill those deepest desires in our hearts. It is so much wiser to follow God. So friends, now when people tell me that I can be a Christian and at the same time still love money, I remember Jesus' words. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. That's the big question I put forward today. Who will you serve? Who will you follow? Will you listen to the voices who preach selfishness and the pursuit of power? Or will you listen to Jesus' voice and lead a life that is shaped by humility, sacrifice, and love? I believe with my whole heart that if all of us here at CPE live that way, if we live to follow Jesus alone, to have Jesus as the center of our church and not lift up those voices in the world that proclaim selfishness and pride, our church would be unbreakable. We would be perfectly united in mind and thought. And we would bring all the more glory to God's name. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for showing us the errors of the Corinthian church. You have given us at CPE a firm warning to see our leaders rightly, to see them as humble servants of Christ. Please protect us from divisions. Please guard our hearts from being influenced by the world's ideas of money, power, and success. Instead, let us center our church around Jesus alone and follow his example of humility and sacrifice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.